We pray, O Lord, speak in this place, in the calming of our minds and the longing of our hearts, by the words of my lips and in the thoughts we form. Speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Have you ever in your life felt a sense of accomplishment? Or maybe a time in your life where you felt like your dream has come true? Something you've been long expecting has finally happened. Can you recall the kind of excitement you felt at the time? After a long period of waiting, a period of waiting in which it appeared as though there was never going to be light. And around your life, all you were seeing was hopelessness, as it were, or maybe darkness. And suddenly there's this light that shines. Can you remember or recall the kind of excitement, the kind of joy, the kind of exclamation you made when that happened? Or maybe you are a football fan, and at the point it appeared as though your football club was losing, and finally they win. And then you kind of raise your right hand or your left hand in jubilation. Or maybe you are even a long tennis supporter, and suddenly somebody you are supporting wins. Can you recall that kind of experience? Today is the first Sunday after Christmas and the Sunday before New Year's Day. In the past weeks, we have gone through the seasons of Advent and Christmas. And for many lives and in our communities, we saw excitement, we saw this tension, somehow even suspense. We saw the whole counting down, how many sleeps before Christmas. And after the Christmas Eve service here, we all went home. And while the children went into their rooms to sleep, I had to sort out the gifts under the Christmas tree and went to bed fairly late. And just before 7, I heard a noise. And the noise was one of the children, Jesse, was walking downstairs. And I said, "Whereabouts are you going?" And she said, "Because Santa said he will come by 7 a.m. Santa said he will come by 7 a.m. and drop out and drop some gifts. So I'm going there to see if Santa has visited." And then she asks, "Is it 7 a.m. yet?" And I said, "I think you need to sleep a little more." He said, "But Santa told me that he will come by 7 a.m. And I said, "Where did Santa tell you all of this?" He said, "That's what Santa said." Anyway, so this whole excitement, this whole joy, and then finally, when I couldn't stop them from going downstairs, we had to go downstairs to do justice to the gifts under the Christmas tree. For many of us, we've had the opportunity to reunite with families, reconnect with families we haven't seen in a long while. It's been excitement, and for some people, it has also been a very difficult time. A time of remembering losses, a time of remembering some painful experiences in the past years. But overall, we can see that the town, even cities, have worn new looks. And our congregation here, beautifully designed, beautifully decorated. And sadly, in the next few weeks, all of this will be removed. But each time I come in here and see these beautiful decorations, I just wonder how it will look like if we can take these decorations as individuals into the lives of our families and community. We'll see this movement in our New Testament reading. Jesus is born. The shepherds came to visit. In obedience to the angels, Mary and Joseph named the baby Jesus, meaning Yahweh or Lord is salvation. For through him, God will bring salvation to the world. They named Jesus. And one of the things I would like to say quickly is that following our Christmas season, we should learn to name people as God has named them. Call people by their right names. I don't mean memorizing the names of everybody, but seeing people as human beings and not as people on the margin. Seeking to bring people on the margin to the center. Seeking to give, to affirm people, even though they might be different from us. Naming people the way God has named them. We are all created after the likeness of God. And the parents of Jesus named Jesus according to what the angel has said to them. And so as we move into the days that lie ahead, we should seek to name our children, our spouses, our relationship the right way. In fact, in the country and in the part of the world where we are originally from, it is said that when you want to kill a dog, you give the dog a bad name. And so we need to affirm people, affirm our marriages, affirm our families, our children, call them the God-given names. Further in our New Testament reading, Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem to make sacrifices and to offer the required thanksgiving offerings. In that space, they ran into two persons in the temple, Simeon, a man who had been told that he would never die until he had seen the consolation of Israel. Another person was Anna, a widow who had stayed close to the temple and served God through fasting and prayer. They both blessed God and they shied and spoke over him. They told Mary and Joseph so many things they hadn't known about the child they were carrying and to others who were listening at the temple. They said words concerning what God has said will happen to the child, what was happening to the child, and the things that will occur and happen through the life of the baby called Jesus, Emmanuel. Can you imagine that kind of situation? You brought your child for christening, and strangers suddenly show up and start telling you scary things about the baby. To fully grasp the consolation of Israel, we have to look to Isaiah, where we read Isaiah chapter 61. And if you read from verse 1, that from verse 1 is the passage that Jesus opened his preaching ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, to bring you good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the brokenhearted, and release to the prisoners. Isaiah was trumpeting the end of Babylonian exile and restoration of Israel. We could say that the prophecy of Isaiah was accomplished in the time of Cyrus, when he took over the Babylonian Empire and allowed exiles to return to their country under Nehemiah and Ezra. To a limited degree, we could say that this prophecy was accomplished, but prophecies will always have their immediate and futuristic, eschatological or futuristic implication. And the futuristic implication was to be fulfilled through the birth of the Messiah. Starting at verse 10, Isaiah again described what it will be like to live in that messianic age. I delight greatly in the Lord, he says. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. And then it goes on and on. This is the consolation of Israel. that Simeon looked for, the experience of living in the Messianic age. And so taking Jesus in his arms and speaking through the Spirit, Simeon proclaimed that the Messianic age would include Gentiles in the kingdom of Israel. And this is indeed good news for all of us today. The inclusion of those who were excluded. The acceptance of those who were unacceptable. The reaching out to those who were unreachable. And that is great news to us today. And that's great news for the church today. And of course, a challenge to the church today. We cannot accept Christmas without reaching out. We cannot be people who celebrate Christmas without opening ourselves up to accept the other, those who are different from us. Because that is really what the birth of Jesus has done for us, bringing us into the kingdom of light and making us part of the universal community of God's people. Like the prophet Isaiah, both Simeon and Anna were speaking of hope, the kind of hope that keeps us going. Today is the last day of the year 2017. In the next few hours, we shall begin to say Happy New Year. In saying this, we wish others and ourselves good fortune, good health, and happiness. Let us greet and walk into the year of the Lord 2018, together with the same confidence that Simeon and Anna displayed. Yes, we will have our challenges. Our national church is changing. Our presbytery, the presbytery of Lanark, is looking for new ways to be missional. Here in St. John's, as we mark our 175th anniversary, we'll be looking for more ways to make a difference. Loving people in the name of Jesus Christ, reaching out to the community, being a church that is aware of the need of our time, being more and more a dynamic congregation. We can only do this by trusting and relying on the power of our God. And before we wind down this year, it is also important that we think about all the goodness of the Lord. We may have had our challenges, but we also need to hold in balance God's goodness over our lives, His provisions. And I always like using this phrase, we can't complain. We can't complain because by the time you listen and X-ray the news of the world this year, you can actually say, we can't complain. We can't complain as a community, as families. We may have had our own difficulties, but in it all, God has been faithful. We can summarize by saying that God has been faithful in our lives, in our congregation, in our community. Even though we have walked through the valleys of the shadow of death, we have no cause to have feared any evil because God has been on our side. The righteous will fall 7 times and rise up 7 times, the psalmist says. For many of us who have fallen 7 times, literally, we have also seen an unseen hand raising us 7 times. And that is why we are here. And so we have reasons to be thankful. As we journey into the year ahead, a year that is pregnant, a year that is unknown to us, let us be assured that God's presence will go every step with us. That we are not going to walk alone. We are not going to be left alone on our own. That God will be with us at the special and extraordinary moments of our lives, and also in the familiar and the routine moments. May we diligently look unto God and trust that He will guide us in the days, in the weeks, in the months, and years that lie ahead. Amen.